Ah, there we go. Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Roger. Not only has he not given me too good of an introduction, he stole all my jokes. Man, put a man on the spot, and then you tell folks all about the chicken. Now you know where their mind's at. It's not on preaching and on me. They want that chicken down here. Well, he knows how to cut a man down a little bit, shorten his message up. But let's just get into the Bible, into the Word of God, because we don't have a lot of time. He said we got all the time. You know, let's look at Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. Well, sure, I appreciate the message. He said he couldn't understand why everybody wanted to be first. Well, after hearing these two messages, who wouldn't want to be first? Amen. And this morning, we spent the night with Martha. And I was telling Brenda, I said, we got to get ready, get out there. I got to be first. And we get out here, and then I'm last. But anyway, the guy's out here at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, the only way I can beat that guy, I'd have to spend the night. It ain't worth that to be first. Amen. But in Matthew chapter number 23, we got to bring the message of me through. Chapter 23, verse 39 through verse number 43. The malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the rebuked him, dost not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And Jesus said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, ask him to bless the service today. Pray with me if you would. Father, we thank you for this privilege to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God that we've been able to hear this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for young men that know the Word of God, that are willing to preach the Word of God with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, I know that preaching is nothing except to be anointed of God. And I pray, Father, that you'd give us that special touch, Lord, that'll make preaching what it ought to be. Please bless the Word, I pray, Father, and we'll be careful to give you thanks and praise for all that you do, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Man, yeah, I thought I did. Okay. Just a little while for this afternoon. Thanks. Really, I want to talk to you, and I've read this scripture here of the dying thief. Salvation. Of how what is entailed in salvation. I think if we wanted to learn something about winning, I want to talk to you a little bit about it. It's following the Lord's best example of soul winning would have to be the Master. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ not only could save win a soul, but he could save a soul. So he had an advantage on us, a big advantage, the heart of those that he was talking to. Now, I just want to use this text that really I read to you, and I'm going to go back in the Bible to a couple of other examples of how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with me, what he did in winning folks to the Lord. But in this scripture, I believe we have the representative, the real the essence of salvation. See, there was nothing that could have done his life, former life, to have saved himself. Matter of fact, he was a thief. He's repenting of his sin. We know that. But before, when the chief priests and the others were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said that the thief cast the same in his thief. And so a little while before, he's joining with the other thief, and he's taunting the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a thief and a robber, and there's nothing in his life that would gain the favor of God. And then there's nothing in the life of the Father that could gain him tonight, because there's nothing he can do. He's hanging on the cross. He's going to be dead in a few minutes. And there's nothing he can do with his hands or his feet to gain God's acceptance in his after salvation. So the only thing that he can do is hang there on the cross and repent of his sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that's what it takes to be saved. You're going to have to come to a place of repentance and put your faith, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And so we see the thief on the cross. I'll go to a couple of Luke chapter 5. Well, Luke chapter number 5, and then we'll go to Luke chapter number 5. And we see the Lord dealing with this paralytic. This guy that is paralyzed. Luke chapter 5, and let me find my verse here, and verse number 18. And the Bible said, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find what by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, brother, they were speaking the truth in as much as who can forgive sins? Nobody but none other but God could forgive sins. And they knew that the only way, the only thing they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God, that was their problem. What they were saying was true. And then when Jesus said, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, why reason you in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say unto the to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now here we see that Jesus was dealing with this life. And as he was dealing with him, he was brought to the Lord Jesus, of course, by four men. And this teaches me, first of all, that God does use human instrumentality. I'm glad that God does. Now, God don't need us. God doesn't need anybody. God could save the world without a single person, and God could heal the world without a single person. But I'm still glad we got doctors and nurses that God will use human instrumentality. He don't have to. He can heal without it. And God doesn't have to use us to get somebody saved. He can do it without it. But God has chosen to use human instrumentality in his word. Amen. And here he's born to four. And I remember when I first got saved, I'd go hear preachers preach. And a lot of revival meetings, the first message of the week, the preacher would be preaching out of this scripture. And he'd preach them. What he's doing is encouraging the people to get out and work and try to get folks into the house of God. Name these four men, and some of them would name one of them faith, and one of them would be works, and the other would be love, and one would be hope. And they would say, you know, if old Hope would say, if we can just get him inside there, boy, he can be saved. And faith said, I believe it. Let's try to get him in there. Just get him to Jesus, and he can be saved. I want to tell you, brother, the other works said, well, I'll go up on the top, and I'll tear the top off where we can get him in. And they were working together to get the man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that we got a plan of salvation, that we can work and we can do these things? But the plan of salvation will never save a person. You've got to get him to the person to get saved. We've got the plan, but the plan gets him to the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, okay, they bring it to him, and Jesus said, okay, your sins are forgiven. And they said, what are you talking about? You can't forgive sins. Jesus said, well, okay then, rise up and walk. He just said, what Jesus was saying is this, you can't see sins forgiven, you can't. Hey, you can't see the new birth. You can't see it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's like the wind blowing. I'm going to tell you, he said, when the wind blows, you can't see the wind blowing. And you won't recognize it, but you can see the trees blowing, you can see the results of the wind blowing, and you can see the end result of what happens when the wind blows. I'm going to tell you, when a person gets saved, you may not see God work on his heart and his sins be forgiven and he being regenerated. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as it happens, you'll see the results of that. That man's life will be different. I'm going to tell you, this man's life was different. When he came here, he was laying on his bed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, to show you, which is the easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk? And Jesus said, surely if I can tell the man to rise up and walk, and he got strength in his body to get up and grab his bed and walk, he got power to forgive sins. Jesus said, I'm going to give you some evidence. I'm going to show you this man's sins are forgiven by the evidence that his sins have been forgiven. I'm going to tell you, brother, if you've ever been saved, there'll be evidence in your life. We're talking about Jesus winning souls. We're talking about Jesus saving souls. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus wins you and Jesus saves you, there'll be evidence in your life that you've been born again. I'm going to tell you, the evidence ain't what makes you saved. Being saved is what makes the evidence. I'm going to tell you, James says, show me your faith by your works, and I show you my faith by me. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you got work, if you got salvation that hadn't produced any work, you got a dead faith. And if it won't work in this world, it'll not get you to heaven. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to show you this, to show how he uses human instrumentality and how he shows evidence. Now go with me real quickly to St. John chapter number 4. St. John chapter number 4. And here's what I want to preach my hour at. No, I'm just kidding. John chapter number 4, and I want to read a few verses. In verse number 4, Jesus said, and the Bible said, that he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, hast to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now we'll read some more in a few minutes. Right now I want to take a few steps of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he deals with souls. Now sometimes when we're dealing with souls, somebody else may have already taken some of the steps. So we may not have to take all the steps, but the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, was at the well. And at the well, when the woman came to the well, she saw the Lord Jesus Christ and she recognized who he was. Or she recognized that he was different. Because he recognized, first of all, he said, how come thou being a man talking to me, it's a woman. And first of all, she recognized that he was a man and she's a woman. I'm going to tell you, that's hard to do in our day sometimes. Well, I tell you, sometimes I see these men going down the streets and they got this beautiful flowing hair. And you know, you go up to them and you say, ma'am. And they turn around and, brother, that's the ugliest woman you ever seen. I tell you, there ain't nothing worse than think you're going to see a pretty woman's face and some other man turn around and look at you with long hair. But what I'm saying is, brother, she could recognize that there's a difference. And I'm saying, brother, if we're going to win people to the Lord, we're going to have to be different. There's going to have to be something different in our life. The world's going to have to see that we've got something that they don't have. You know, I see these folks say with these little bumper stickers that says, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. And I know what they mean by that, but I'm going to tell you, we're always making excuses for our sins. And I see people say, well, the only difference in me and the lost person is my sins are forgiven. Oh, there's a lot more different than that. I'm going to tell you, brother, if you got saved, your life will be different. I'm going to tell you, the world is not looking for another problem. And if all you got is just a little religion added to your life, and it hadn't delivered you, and it's not give you victory, and it's not lifted you out of your sins, and you hadn't got that everlasting water that Jesus talked about, the world does not want another problem with religion. They got enough problems. They want something that will deliver them. And if you hadn't been delivered, and you got no proof in your life, you're not going to win folks for the Lord. not going to have much influence for those that are lost. Not only did she but she realized that he was a Jew. Now that I want to go a little further. Now that was in verse number 9. She talked to him about being a Jew and about them being a man and all these things. Then in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now Jesus is trying to create a thirst in her for the living water. She's come out of the natural. That's all she knows is the natural water. The water from Jacob's well. And the woman in verse 11 said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now she begins to argue with the Lord. First of all, she can only see the natural. And you know, you got to recognize that. When you're talking to lost sinners, when you're witnessing, you got to recognize they don't understand what you understand. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've studied your Bible and you understand some things and you've been delivered. And you got to recognize they don't understand that. Sometimes when we talk to folks, we say, why don't they understand? Why can't they see? I'll tell you why they can't. Because they've only got a... They're only looking at the natural. And then not only do we see that she only had the natural, but then she wants to bring up an ark. And she says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thou himself and his children and his cattle? And she said, now, Lord, are you greater than Jacob? Surely you're not going to claim to be greater than Jacob that gave us this well. And you know, a trick of the devil is when you try to witness somebody, is get you in an argument with them. And you know, most sinners know enough scripture to get. Did you know I've talked to sinners that wanted to argue about eternal security? Well, you don't believe in that eternal security over there, don't you? Something like that. You know, if you're not careful, you'll jump on that with both feet. And you know, we'll jump on to them and we'll prove to them that we believe in eternal security. Well, listen, that's not doing much. If you've been saved in length of time and you can't take your Bible and show a lost person that he's wrong about something like that, you're not a very good Christian. And you'd be very right, but you're not trying to prove the point that you're right. She said, are you greater than our father Jacob? And I'm going to tell you, Jacob, and Jesus didn't even argue with her. Jesus could have. He could have said, yes, I'm greater than your father Jacob. I created Jacob. I created this will. I uphold all things by my power. Yes, I am greater. But he never said it. He wasn't there to prove his point. He was there to stay on point. She needed the living water. He continues with this message. To create that thirst of the living water. Trying to be the salt of the earth. That's what we're going to be. The salt of the earth. I'm trying to love them. Trying to show them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. I noticed the Lord Jesus said in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's a preaching to her. And verse 15, the woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, need to come hither to draw. All of a sudden, she begins to thirst this water. And she begins to want this water. And when she does, she says, Lord, give me this water. And the Lord said, I'll give it. Something got to be dealt with in your life first. And this is where most of us want to skip over this little matter of sin. Jesus said, I can give you the water, but we're going to have to deal with the sin in your life. There's a problem. And you know what? You know it's harder to get folks to realize and get folks to admit. I remember Saved Long was working on the job, no pain down there, and he was cursing. He was drinking his beer. And I said, there's some way I got to witness to him. And I said, I just said, you know, it'd be a good day for the Lord to come back, wouldn't it? He said, man, what are you talking about? I'd love that. I'm talking, that's the way the Lord looks today. They're just going in their sin, but they're just religious, and they're looking for Jesus, and they're just doing fine. What they don't admit. The only way you're going to get saved, you're going to have to admit you're a sinner. Hey, if you fill out a resume to get a job, you know what you're going to do? You're going to fill out your good points. You're going to tell how great you are, and how great, you know, and all, how much experience you got, and all this, and you better watch over doing that. Well, them folks at the office know you ain't all that good sometimes. I was talking to my grandson, Ethan, and this guy, this football coach, he's in home. over in Georgia. And Ethan's, I think, in 11th grade, 10th, 11th grade. And he was talking to that coach. We went over to eat with him. And he's out there in the yard talking. He came back in and said, yeah, this coach is wanting to organize the homeschool around an 8-man football team. You ever heard of that? 8-man. Anyway, that's what it is. And he said, he told me, he said, I used to play for the University of Colorado. And said, then I played in the professional. And he said, I even coached at Brigham Young a little while and coached some of the best quarterbacks ever was. Said, Steve Young, some of them said, I was their coach. And so he's building up his revenue. He's trying to recruit these boys to play in his 8-man football team. And then he went a little further. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm actually the best coach of any homeschool football team in America. He came back in there telling that. And his daddy said, you know, pride goes before destruction. Holy Spirit will fall. Amen. And we had a good life. What I'm saying is, boy, he was filling out that resume. But if you're going to fill out a resume to get saved, if you're going to fill out an application to get saved, you're going to have to go right opposite. You're going to have to get on the word, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm corrupt. Lord, I'm no good. Lord, I've done wrong. Lord, I'm just nothing. And I have come to the end of myself. And brother, us sinners get saved. If you're not a sinner, there's nothing to save you from. So notice what she said, or what the Lord Jesus said, okay, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saith thou truly. You know, let me just say this real quick. It's too late to be running ragged. But I heard a man say, he was preaching and he's trying to, I don't know what you think about Peter Ruttman, but he was trying to defend Peter Ruttman. And he said that when a man and a woman have sexual relations, that constitutes a marriage. If you don't do no ceremony, nothing else, that they're automatically married. Yeah, he's wrong. But he's not wrong right here. Notice what he's saying. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go call your husband. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, no, thou hast had... you said it right. You don't have a husband right now, but thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Having a sexual relationship, but he wouldn't have a husband. I'm going to tell you, folks shacked up are not married. But anyway, coming face to face with her sin. Sinner. Okay, he's brought her. Verse number 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, and the hour cometh. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. And that's what most folks are doing today. They don't know what they're worshiping. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And now, the Lord Jesus has crushed up another. I know we're just getting a condensed version, but he knocked the last crutch from her. That's her religion, though. You know, where they worship that. And as he began to knock that out from under, she has nothing else she can rely upon. She, you know, her the blinders has been taken off, and she comes to the point all of a sudden and says, well, Lord, I don't have any choice. I mean, everything I've said, you said it's no good, and I don't know what to do. The only thing I know, we've heard of the Messiah's coming, and when he comes, he'll tell me. I'm going to tell you, when you get to the point that you have nothing, no one else to rely upon, well, he said, I just speak unto you. You know what it is? He revealed himself unto you. And right then is when she was saved. That's what happened to me. Let me give you this real quickly. I was blind before I saved, just like anybody else. I grew up in a Christian home. My daddy was a Baptist preacher. And he took us to church. Matter of fact, he prayed with us. I don't know, I got 3 sisters here, or 2 here tonight. And you know that the daddy prayed. I don't know, Martha, was you old enough to remember that? He would pray with us at night and read a chapter of the Bible to us. And he'd do that. And he raised, and I heard preaching, and I heard, took us to church. But yeah, you know, all that preaching and all that praying and all them family devotion, still I was blind. I was as blind as the blindest man in the deepest jungle of Africa that never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as being able to understand the gospel. And I thought, to get saved, I thought that you go to the altar, and if you could pray long enough and hard enough, some kind of light would come on, and you'd just be saved. All of a sudden, you're going to be saved. And I went to the altar several times before I got saved. But the night that I got saved, I probably prayed for 30 minutes. I got up and I was just defeated. And somebody over there told me, said, "Jerry, get back down there." I said, "I believe you're just about there. If you can get back in that same spirit again, I believe you'll get through." So I hit the altar praying again. This is up in Waleska, Georgia. And it was in the summertime in August, there was no air conditioning. I tell you, I was soaking wet. I was just defeated on how I'm gonna do it. And the guy that invited me to church was come over, he was kneeled right beside him. And I don't know, he probably didn't know why he said this. But he said, "Jerry, can't you just..." And God took those words and spoke to my heart. I mean, as plain as I'm speaking to you tonight. God took those words and said, "Son, if you'll just believe it, believe that I'm able to do it, and get up and confess me, it'll be done." And I stood up and I said, "I've taken Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior," and I've been saved ever since. Well, it wasn't a matter of praying so hard. It was a matter of believing, repenting of my sins, and believing. I'm going to tell you, I had no idea of believing and trusting. My only idea was praying. I was blinded to the gospel, even though I'd heard the gospel many times, until God opened my heart that night. I'm going to tell you, God has to do the opening of the heart. It happened over in the 16th chapter book of Acts, where Paul had prayer with him, and Paul had preached to him. And the Bible said that God touched Lydia's heart and opened her heart, that she received the things that were preached. I'm glad Brother God opened my heart that night. Let me, by simple faith, trust Him as my Lord and as my Savior. Been saved ever since. Did you know what? I didn't even know that Romans 9, 10, and 9 was in the Bible, where it said that if thou shalt believe in thy heart, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Didn't know that was in there. But later on I read that, and I said, that's exactly what I did. Amen. I believed in my heart and I confessed my mouth, and brother, I was saved. He said, "You shall be saved." Oh yes, that was repentance and faith. That's. And I want to tell you, here's what happened to her. She came to the saints, and she was blinded, but all of a sudden, she said, "My only hope is in the Messiah." And he said, "Okay, you got no other hope. Your hope's in the Messiah. I'm He." And she looked, and she recognized. And she ran out of there and left that water pot and had that everlasting life and ran out there in the city and said, "Come see a man that told me everything that I did. He is not just the Christ." She knew who Jesus was. I'm going to tell you, before I got saved, I didn't know who Jesus was. Didn't know. I remember down here at Jones Chapel Church, out here, Brother Tom Hutt. You remember Brother Tom Hutt? And they have Sunday school, and they'd have a little devotion before Sunday school. Sunday school superintendent, give a little devotion. Usually they'd bootleg preaching for about 10 or 15 minutes, what they did. No, Brother Tom Hutt would say, "Jesus Christ is God." And he would talk about that. And you know, I was confused in my mind. I said, "Who is God? Is God?" I wouldn't say it publicly, but in my mind I was thinking, "Who is God? Is Jesus God? Is the Father God? Who is God?" But you know what? That night I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since that time, I've known who Jesus is. I've known that He's the Son of God. I didn't analyze it that night and say, "Look here, I've learned who Jesus is, but I've never had a problem with the Trinity. I've never had a problem with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never had a problem with somebody preaching and telling me that Jesus is God and that God the Father is God and the Holy Ghost is God." I'm going to tell you, when God saves you, He puts the whole package in you. And when you read it and believe it and you get the Word of God, you just believe everything He says. And so, that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ went about winning folks to the Lord. I've read books on soul winners. Dr. Harold Sattler. I heard Dr. Harold Sattler say this. He said somebody sent him a book. And on the cover of the book it said, "Soul Winning Made Easy." He said, I threw it. He said, ain't nothing easy about soul. Takes a lot of praying, takes a lot of this, takes a lot of agonizing. It takes a lot of work to get folks saved. Well, soul winning by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that that Samaritan woman could leave saying, save, save, save. Brother up yonder, August the 10th, 1968, in Wallace, Georgia, right outside of Canton, Georgia, I left that meeting that night crying, save, save, save. Save by faith! Well, there's got to come a time in your life when you just put all your trust in Him. And nothing you've done, nothing you could do, but all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the message for tonight. I'm done, went over. Keep talking.